From KALW and PRX, I'm Lauren Schiller, and this is Inflection Point, stories of how women rise up. When you were a kid, when would you say was the first time you realized the world is just not fair? I'm not talking about the no fair, you gave my little sister a bigger piece of birthday cake than me. I'm talking about the realization that not only is the world not fair, but that it can also be downright cruel, unequal, and discriminating. Did you feel like you could do something about it as a kid? I remember being in third grade in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and just beside myself at the seating chart our teachers had made for our classroom. Hey, activism starts with what you know. So to protest, I created a petition and had everyone in the class sign it. Actually, I signed it for each of them because I didn't want them to mess up the petition. I presented it to the teacher in the hopes that she would let us sit with our friends. I thought I was pretty bold making that move. Sadly, the teacher stood her ground, and we sat where we sat. Now, imagine taking your first spark of outrage, that pure sense of right and wrong and what should be done about it, and doing it. There are girls, I'm talking about itty-bitty little girls, all around the globe addressing tough issues, way tougher than my seating chart, that no 12-year-old should have to deal with, but must. By the luck of where and when they were born, things like child marriage, sex trafficking, limited access to education, and poverty. Photojournalist Paola Gianturco and her granddaughter, Alex Sangster, interviewed and photographed girl activists ranging in age from 10 to 18 from 15 nonprofit groups around the world. One girl even went undercover.
I asked one girl, "Do you consider yourself an activist?" Her name was Nida. She was 15. And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, tell me something that you're proud of having accomplished." And she said, "Last week, I led a sting operation against a sex trafficking ring from Dubai."
These were such tough issues that Paola wasn't sure if this book would be suitable for the preteen set. And yet, I am so glad she teamed up with her granddaughter, Alex. She was 11 at the time, to talk with these girls and to help us all learn how you can change the world.
Sometimes they would elaborate on their lives with me because they felt a little more comfortable talking to me than my grandmother because I'm a little closer to their ages.
Paola has documented women's issues and women activists in over 60 countries for over 20 years. And through writing this book, even she got a new perspective on what girls are capable of, including her own granddaughter. And Alex got a new perspective on her grandmother.
Before we started working on this book, my grandmother and I would string beads on bracelets and necklaces, and we would make paper dresses for paper dolls. And my sister and I only knew the fun side of my grandmother, the side where she's always laughing and always trying to engage us. But I kind of just learned the other side of her, where she also cares about the issues that these girls face, and she kind of like, you know how like they say a mother's heart only grows? It's kind of like what my grandmother does with these groups. Like, they're each part of our family now.
After reading this book, I actually felt hope for the future.
But I actually have to disagree, because the future is now. And if we are the future, then we are supposed to be creating change now.
Did I mention Alex is 12?
Before writing this book, I might have heard of some of these issues, thought about them briefly, and then just gone back to my normal day. But now that I've actually met some of the people who face these issues every day, I've made personal connections with them, and I've humanized some of the most major issues that girls are facing around the world. My perspective has definitely changed. I want to do everything in my power to help their causes. I can't exactly buy them a house, but I can sign a petition, I can donate time, and I can bring awareness to their needs so other people with more resources, aka money, can get involved also.
And are there any groups that you're involved with yourself or that you're thinking about starting or problems that you see in your community that you're interested in addressing now that you know that there's all kinds of ways to do that?
Well, I'm not personally part of any groups in the book.
You might like to tell the story about Just Kids.
Oh, so 4 years ago, my sister and I started an annual gathering of kids from all over the world at an anti-poverty conference in Mexico. About 30 of us attended, all ages 6 to 12. And we shared what it's like to grow up where we live and what our cultures are like. And so my sister and I created the program so we can help kids develop relationships all around the world for when they do start companies or nonprofits or organizations to fix a problem in their community.
How old is your sister?
My sister, she just turned 10 today.
And you'd started this group 4 years ago?
Yeah, we started it 4 years ago, and it's an annual, so we see most of these kids every year.
I have actually been there when Alex and her sister Avery run this program, and they do all kinds of things together. They cook together, they tell stories, they play games from different cultures, they sing, they dance. It's really a very engaging and inspiring program among little kids, 6 to 12.
What made you want to do that?
Well, this was a conference that my grandmother and my dad have been to before. And we were in a Ralph's parking lot. And we're like, but what about the kids? Isn't there, there's surely something that the kids do. And there wasn't. There was only a kids club. The kids barely made relationships because they were either with siblings or friends that they knew before. And we were thinking, we can help do something to help them learn at this program like their parents are doing. So with a bunch of post-it notes on car windows, we developed an idea and we met a lot of people, delegates at the conference. And I feel like I have learned either more than or about as much as I did at school.
So, Paola, what was the conference before Just Kids became part of it?
The conference itself is for adults who run NGOs in the developing world, in fact, all over the world, and funders. And they meet with the intention of finding ways to collaborate. The name of the conference is Opportunity Collaboration.
Wow, that's so genius. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So as far as working together goes, how has your relationship evolved having been through this process together, Paola?
I mean, I was kind of a loving, playful grandmother. We even had a club with her sister and her and me.
The Grands.
Exactly, the Grands.
The Grands.
So we were very close. And at the same time, this project has offered us opportunities to do things together that we would otherwise never have had a chance to do together. Photography is one. Interviewing with people like you is another one. Interviewing girls ourselves. Doing the book gave Alex, I think, a broader view of the world. Doing the book gave me a huge respect for Alex. I knew that I could always count on her for creative ideas. She's a very creative photographer. I gave her her first camera when she was about two, when she was so short that she photographed people's feet and the dog's tail. And I mean, many professional photographers don't have 9 years of experience taking pictures. But by the time, since she hasn't had lots and lots of photography classes, she's very free about composition. It was liberating for me to do photography with Alex. She designed wonderful graphics that we use when we're presenting about the book. I could never do them. I have no idea even how she managed this with did wonderful computer graphics. She taught me unbelievable amounts about technology and certainly taught me to recognize how little I know about it. I would get lost in Los Angeles and she would say, "Turn left, grandmother, I've got it." We would be trying to order dinner in Mexico and she would have the translate app out, and I don't speak Spanish, so she was the only one who knew the things we might order. Anyway, there was much to learn from Alex, and I have, as a result, grown more than you can imagine in my respect for her responsibility and what she can bring to the project.
I'm Lauren Schiller, and this is Inflection Point. I'm talking with Paola Gianturco and Alex Sangster. They're the co-authors of Wonder Girls Changing Our World. I would love to just dive into some of the stories that you collected, and then we can circle back to what you learned from all of these girls that you met with. Alex, I was reading about the group in Indonesia that started Bye Bye Plastic Bags to get rid of all the plastic that was floating around that beautiful country. Could you tell me the story of what you appreciated about what the girls did and what you learned from what they are currently doing?
So Bye Bye Plastic Bags started with when Melody and Isabel were aged 10 and 12, and they organized the children of Bali to collect signatures on a petition to stop the use of plastic bags. And as you said, they had been littering their beaches and their environment. The sisters distributed reusable bags to retailers, and they sponsored beachside cleanups. They also did flash mobs and flied a huge kite at tourist sites to increase awareness of their cause. And when they were ready to present the first signatures on the petition to the governor, they tried to ask for an appointment, and the governor declined. And let me just say, it was a huge mistake. Melody.
For him to decline?
Yes.
Okay.
So in response, Melody and Isabel told the press that they were going to go on a hunger strike. And the governor saw them the very next day. And in addition to that, he also signed a memorandum of understanding promising to help them stop the use of plastic bags by 2018.
That's amazing. And what really stood out to me about this story is that it seems like the girls were really making decisions, identifying the problem, figuring out solutions. It's not like there was an adult who was saying, okay, now you need to do this and now you need to do that. Did that stand out for you too?
Yeah. Well, it kind of really stood out for me that they were my age when they started this. So it kind of makes me realize any person can do anything they want to change the world at any age.
It's so incredible. And just reading about kind of this was a huge culture shift, that the normal practice was you go to the store, you get a plastic bag, you take your stuff out of the bag, you burn it.
Exactly. And Isabel said when they first began working on this project that people had no understanding of the deleterious effect of burning plastic. Because the use of plastic, of course, had come fast on the heels of the long-term tradition of wrapping things in leaves. The advent of plastic had really had a negative effect, but nobody recognized how bad it was. So people would say, well, of course, what's wrong with a plastic bag? So a lot of their work, particularly in the beginning of their project, had to do with educating people about how bad plastic was.
Interesting. Well, let's go to India. This is another story that I know you were interested in talking about, Paola. Tell us what you found when you went to India.
I want to tell you about the girls who meet at the Shaheen Women's Resource Center in Hyderabad, India. They are Muslim. They are Dalit, which is what they now call the untouchable caste. And they are from other backward castes. That's actually a government census category, other backward castes. When the girls first met, they made drawings. One girl drew a bird. The bird had no wings. The woman there said, "I do think it's missing something." And the girl nodded and rushed back to her seat and continued drawing and drew a cage. These girls have almost no freedom. They must stay inside their homes unless they're accompanied by brothers or fathers. Shaheen asked the police to protect the girls so they could even walk to meetings. Today, the girls are drawing safety maps that show locations where they experienced harassment or molestation. They give the maps to the police, who redouble their monitoring of those areas. The girls also teach each other money-making skills, like henna, you know, how women wear those beautiful hand-drawn, painted flowers all over their hands to weddings and to parties. The girls are learning from each other to do that so they won't be financially dependent on their fathers and their future husbands. I asked one girl who was teaching henna, as I was sitting next to her as she was teaching another girl, and I said, "Do you consider yourself an activist?" Her name was Nida. She was 15. And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, tell me something that you're proud of having accomplished." And she said, "Last week, I led a sting operation against a sex trafficking ring from Dubai." Such an astonishing story from a 15-year-old. I'll let you read it in her own words in the book, but I'll tell you the bottom line is that every member of that sex trafficking ring is now in jail.
That's incredible. You have to share a little bit more. Yeah, what did she do?
Well, she was covered. And she went with two women from Shaheen, one pretending to be her mother, one pretending to be her aunt. And she, Nida, put a little video cam under her clothes. She actually was so nervous that she only was able to record the sound. But in fact, the camera kind of jostled and she only had pictures of the ceiling. But they sort of evaluate the girls. She had made it known that she wanted to be, quote, married. And they sort of evaluate the girls. Were they thin? Were they fat? How much money were they prepared to pay? And they selected her from the girls who were there and invited her to come back with her suitcase packed. And she went back a second time. And instead of going with the two women from her own organization, she went with two women from the local television station. And they photographed the entire transaction. And just before she was about to be required to sign her contract, they had alerted the police. And, of course, they had completely documented the entire transaction. The evidence was clear, and the police arrested the trafficking ring.
So how do they defy these norms without getting in trouble? You know, without the system coming crashing down on them and trying to put them back in their quote-unquote place.
It's complicated. I mean, the fact is these are very courageous girls. They really are Wonder Girls. We named the book appropriately. Sometimes the system does come crashing down on them. I mean, some of them have real trouble at home. Fortunately, in every instance, there is at least one grown-up woman who is helping and protecting them. The woman who started the Shaheen organization is a very famous Indian feminist poet named Jameela Nishat. And she's very sophisticated about how to help the girls. I will say she is the only woman I have ever interviewed who had a fatwa against her. And of course, that called up images of Salman Rushdie and hiding in exile and never writing again. She didn't do that. She filed a civil suit against the people who brought the fatwa. But there was a real backlash against her.
Wow. So is she, but she's living out in the open?
Mm-hmm. They won the suit.
And help. That's amazing. And helping, and then helping. And so she's like an incredible role model.
Exactly.
She's really demonstrating what is possible. So this is a very thick book full of so much rich material and so many great lessons, really, not only just understanding and learning about these girls' experiences and how they've been able to make change in their communities, but wrapping up each section that you wrote, Alex, with how you can change our world, very concise and pragmatic. So I'd love for you to share some of the key themes that you took away from this that might be helpful to anyone listening who is interested in creating change in their communities.
I found that there are a bunch of things that the groups have in common for what they need to be donated to them. But then there are also some really peculiar ones. Like for Buy Plastic Bags, it's please sign this petition. And for the Malawi one, it's please donate underwear and pads. So there were some other cases like that. And I tried my best to include everything. And my themes were, this is a quick summary of what my grandmother wrote and what they told me. This is what they are trying to accomplish, and this is what they need for you to help.
So what were the major takeaways for what made these girls successful, do you think?
I think what made them successful was their perseverance, because they faced a lot of barriers, like the fact that they were female and that they were young and people didn't exactly take them seriously. So like I said in the Bye-Bye Plastic Bag story, the governor wouldn't make an appointment for them until they told them that they were going to go on a hunger strike to the press. And so that kind of showed me that these girls are really underappreciated, even though they make up a big part of their society, and that they need help even though it seems like they have it undercover.
I can pitch in a couple of more things that I observed. I discussed this with Jamila Nishat, who was the woman who founded the group in India. She had given a speech that interested me very much. It was titled, "The Revolution Will Be Led by a 12-Year-Old Girl." I knew that she must be a kindred spirit when I heard the title of her speech. And when I interviewed her, she talked about the fact that when young girls, for the first time in their lives, meet injustice, they are outraged. I mean, I know that from watching you, Alex, as you, for example, talked with the girls from Malawi who were working to advocating for Parliament to make a law against child marriage. They really are outraged. And as Jamila said, if they can channel that outrage, they really can cause important change. We found that all over the world, outraged girls channeling their outrage to a productive result. Alex also mentioned creativity. That was a universal. We saw girls performing spoken word poetry here in Los Angeles, and we talked about the Bye-Bye Plastic Bag girls flying kites with messages on them. We saw them making videos and writing blogs and painting graffiti and dancing. The groups all had one other thing in common, and Alex just mentioned perseverance. For example, the girls in Malawi worked for 5 years to get Parliament to make child marriage illegal. Sometimes change takes a long time, and these girls are just determined to make it happen. But 5 years is a long time if you are 13 or if you are 17.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always ask my guests what the best advice they've ever been given is about something related to what we've been discussing. And I am sure that you got lots of really great advice from the different people that you interviewed throughout this process. So I was wondering if you could each share what the best advice that you've ever been given about making change is.
All right. So when I was in Guadalajara, Mexico, interviewing a Technovation team, one of the participants told me, "We are little particles that can cause change, like the butterfly wings that can create a tsunami in another place." And for me, it kind of really just puts in perspective that we can all create change because these girls are. And even though we might be of different ages, of different genders, we can all create change no matter what.
Thank you. What about you, Paola?
Oh, you know, my father came from Italy to the United States, and so I grew up very aware of being part of a global world, even at a time that it wasn't anywhere nearly as small as it now is, thanks to technology and communications. And because my father was a doctor committed to making other people more healthy, I think his example taught me how closely connected we all are and how important it is that we pay attention to each other. So it wasn't formal advice per se, but it was an example that really set the stage for my whole life and my commitment to doing exactly that. And one thing that I'm very pleased about, that the girls in the book were very pleased about, is that Alex and I have decided to give 100% of our author royalties from the book to girls' groups around the world via the Global Fund for Women. And that results really from my own experience with my father when I was growing up.
Mm. I am actually wondering, as you were growing up, were these kinds of groups of girls trying to make change something that was part of your personal experience?
No, I had, because this is book six for me, and I had had my eyes on the activism and work of and issues that face women and girls in 62 countries. I've been doing books like this now for almost 22 years. I just suddenly began noticing groups and noticing how effective they were. And so I began talking with organizations like Rise Up and One World Children's Fund and Mama Cash in the Netherlands and Global Fund for Women and said, "This is what I'm seeing. Are you seeing this? Nobody's talking about it." But I didn't begin seeing that until probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago.
Thank you both so much. This has been such an interesting and fun conversation for me. And I really appreciate you talking with me today.
Thank you.
That was Paola Gianturco and Alex Sangster, grandmother and granddaughter, who together wrote and photographed the book Wonder Girls, Changing Our World, when Alex was 11. I started this show in part to be a role model for my daughters, to give voice to more women and to show what women are capable of. Meanwhile, here we have a book of all these girls taking matters into their own hands, not waiting till they grow up or achieve some sort of status or permission. Hearing the stories that Alex and Paola brought back from developing countries and right here in the U.S. made me realize we need to give our daughters more credit. Let them take the reins and support them as they channel their outrage into ideas for change. What can our daughters, nieces, and sisters do at the age of 10, 11, or 12 to change the world? Because, like Alex said, the future is now. And this is how women and girls rise up. This is Inflection Point. I'm Lauren Schiller.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.